Aronson and Steele found the same thing with the black students who did so poorly after they were reminded of their race. I talked to the black students afterward, and I asked them, "Did anything lower your performance?" Aronson said. I would ask, "Did it bug you that I asked you to indicate your race?" Because it clearly had a huge effect on their performance. And they would always say no, and something like, "You know, I just don't think I'm smart enough to be here." The results from these experiments are, obviously, quite disturbing. They suggest that what we think of as free will is largely an illusion. Much of the time, we are simply operating on automatic pilot, and the way we think and act and how well we think and act on the spur of the moment are a lot more susceptible to outside influences than we realize. But there is also, I think, a significant advantage to how secretly the unconscious does its work. In the example of the sentence completion task I gave you, with all the words about old age, how long did it take you to make sentences out of those words? My guess is that it took you no more than a few seconds per sentence. That's fast, and you were able to perform that experiment quickly because you were able to concentrate on the task and block out distractions. If you had been on the lookout for possible patterns in the lists of words, there is no way you would have completed the task that quickly. You would have been distracted. Yes, the references to old people changed the speed at which you walked out of the room, but was that bad? Your unconscious was simply telling your body, "I've picked up some clues that we're in an environment that's really concerned about old age, and let's behave accordingly." Your unconscious, in this sense, was acting as a kind of mental valet. It was taking care of all the minor mental details in your life. It was keeping tabs on everything going on around you and making sure you were acting appropriately while leaving you free to concentrate on the main problem at hand. The team that created the Iowa gambling experiments was headed by the neurologist Antonio Damasio, and Damasio's group has done some fascinating research on just what happens when too much of our thinking takes place outside the locked door. Damasio studied patients with damage to a small but critical part of the brain called the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, which lies behind the nose. The ventromedial area plays a critical role in decision-making. It works out contingencies and relationships and sorts through the mountain of information we get from the outside world, prioritizing it and putting flags on things that demand our immediate attention. People with damage to their ventromedial area are perfectly rational. They can be highly intelligent and functional, but they lack judgment. More precisely, they don't have that mental valet in their unconscious that frees them up to concentrate on what really matters. In his book Descartes' Error, Damasio describes trying to set up an appointment with a patient with this kind of brain damage. "I suggested two alternative dates, both in the coming month and just a few days apart from each other. The patient pulled out his appointment book and began consulting the calendar. The behavior that ensued, which was witnessed by several investigators, was remarkable. For the better part of a half hour, the patient enumerated reasons for and against each of the two dates: previous engagements, proximity to other engagements, possible meteorological conditions, virtually anything one could think about concerning a simple date. He was walking us through a tiresome cost-benefit analysis, an endless outlining and fruitless comparison of options and possible consequences. It took enormous discipline to listen to all of this without pounding on the table and telling him to stop." Damasio and his team also gave the gambler's test to their ventromedial patients. Most of the patients, just like the rest of us, eventually figured out that the red decks were a problem. But at no time did the ventromedial patients ever get a prickling of sweat on their palms. At no time did they get a hunch that the blue decks were preferable to the red cards. And at no time, not even after they had figured the game out, did the patients adjust their strategy to stay away from the problem cards. They knew intellectually what was right, but that knowledge wasn't enough to change the way they played the game. "It's like drug addiction," says Antoine Bechara, one of the researchers on the Iowa team. "Addicts can articulate very well the consequences of their behavior, but they fail to act accordingly. That's because of a brain problem. That's what we were putting our finger on. Damage in the ventromedial area causes a disconnect between what you know and what you do. What the patients lacked was the valet silently pushing them in the right direction, adding that little emotional extra, the prickling of the palms, to make sure they did the right thing. In high-stakes, fast-moving situations, we don't want to be as dispassionate and purely rational as the Iowa ventromedial patients. We don't want to stand there endlessly talking through our options. Sometimes we're better off if the mind behind the locked door makes our decisions for us.